So I'm speaking with Tim Ledwith, and how are you doing, Tim?
I'm good.
I guess full disclosure, are you or are you not my coworker?
I am.
So you were involved in a recent series of articles, mainly reported by Katie Shepherd of the Willamette Week.
Well, I would say broken by her.
Broken, yeah. But, yeah, and pretty much completely reported by Katie Shepherd.
Yeah.
dealing with particularly tiny...
I think it's Toesi.
Toesi?
Him and Donovan Flippo.
And members of Patriot Prayer or...
Proud Boys.
Hangers-on.
Yeah.
At the least.
Yeah, you used to be able to say them as one entity, but now they're schisms.
Yeah. A lot of times people get lumped in, especially by people who don't, you know, aren't on the ground at these protests, and it's easy to get lumped in with Antifa, you know, quote unquote, or Patriot Prayer, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, like, what do you affiliate yourself with? If
That question has definitely come up because I have been accused of being a member of Antifa, which I don't think is really, from the way I understand it, is not very possible. Yeah. I mean, you can be a member of like a collective, like Rose City Antifa is like a group. I mean, there are individuals that run a website and do research and all that. So that is like an affinity group. But in turn, I would definitely call myself an anti-fascist. And I would probably distinguish myself. I honestly think that like that's just default mode. I mean, you're an anti-fascist, right? I mean, like, I mean, by saying, you know, I think it's Daryl Lamont. I can't remember my full name, but he says in this documentary recently, he said, you know, you're as much as an anti-fascist as I am, as long as you oppose fascism. So by that definition, yeah, I would also go further and say that, yeah, I do align myself with a more I don't know, a more militant anti-fascist worldview, you know, like I definitely, and you know, that was the thing. That's how, like, that's why the whole situation was weird, because I knew Tiny and Donovan. I knew these people from their, from protests that I had been at, that one of whom I got arrested at, you know, the June 4th, 2017 one. Now I wasn't there with any particular organization or anything, but I was definitely there, opposing what I felt was their, either out and out fascism or, you know, at the very least, giving entryway to white nationalists and fascist neo-reactionary in a very violent setting. So, and a lot of anti-fascist work, too, is not, you know, they bring up, first of all, the Black Bloc is almost always equated with anti-fascist, and which is like not... It's not true and it's not untrue. I mean, like, there are many members of the Black Bloc that would identify as that, but that is not, like, that's all that Antifa is or something, you know. Antifa is just an organizing strategy to oppose fascism. And it looks different in different places, you know. Over here, it definitely has more of an anarchist take to it. But anyways, a lot of the work is... you know, just like doing research and stuff like that, and then like, you know, posting information, you know, and going across a lot of like social media platforms, stuff like that. So in that, I was doing a lot of that. So it was kind of weird to like see people I knew from the internet, like in real life when I was, you know.
But did you get the impression, and we'll get into the incident in a minute, but do you get the impression that they would have recognized you from any of these?
No, I mean, even though actually I was arrested pretty publicly at the June 4th thing, they definitely didn't recognize me, and I think they said as much in their interviews with the police too, and it didn't appear as if they. I mean, literally, the last thing I heard before I was punched in the face was how do you know me? You know, so they didn't know who I was, But yeah, I was very much familiar with who they were, specifically Tiny, who had become a, you know, kind of a media, you know, even if I had never been to a rally, I could have known who he was, you know, if I just read the local media.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think he was, this latest round of reporting is definitely the.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people, the fact that like people I know, like in like, even in like the comedy, stand-up comedy world, which I was part of, that like are not involved politically at all, know who they talk about him. Everyone talks about him with just the first name, you know, like,
yeah,
like he's a local celebrity in some respects.
And so you referred to getting punched in the face.
Yes.
So that was like about a year after the June 4th, 2017 protest.
Yeah, almost exactly. It was June 8th of 2018.
It wasn't at a protest either.
No, not at all. It was on the street in broad daylight on a Friday afternoon. I had just gotten back from my brother had committed suicide, so I had gone back to go deal with that and go to my family, and I had just gotten back from his memorial, and I was actually I had been hit up by my ex-wife, who I'm really close with, who was 8.5 months pregnant, not with my kid, but yeah. But with her current partners, and she had just hit me up. It was all random why I was going to be there. She said she was in, I lived by the Lloyd's area, and she had hit me up, said, "Hey, come meet me. I'm going to a doctor's appointment." I was on the phone with my mom, and I just, you know, I was like consoling her. I was like teared up when I walked up to this crosswalk at 12th and Broadway, and then this truck which was stopped there. The truck was owned by Russell Schultz. We can get into him later, but he was a Proud Boy and was a member of Patriot Prayer. A little older than the other two individuals who are Donovan Flippo and Tiny, who are both in their early 20s. And Russell Schultz is probably middle-aged. But they were driving in his truck, and Tiny and Donovan were kind of, I guess, like, not necessarily yelling, but like just like, yelling like pro-Trump slogans, like build a wall, things like that. Mm-hmm. Just kind of at anybody, like, but kind of focusing in on people. And I was one of the only people at the crosswalk, so they kind of focused in on me. And with that, I was just like, it was just surreal to like see these guys. And then also I was not wanting to deal with this. So I just like kind of quietly dismissed them. I kind of put my hand up and, just, you know, the light went and I went to go across the crosswalk. When I was going across the crosswalk, they started yelling like homophobic slurs at me and, you know, saying threatening things. And by the time I got to the other side of the crosswalk, I had yelled back something, you know, along the lines of, you know, can I swear?
Is this go ahead.
Fuck off, Tiny, you know, because I recognized them from the thing. And then that's when the truck pulled over, like they had to go, you know, they jump out, and Tiny was walking towards me, and he's a really big guy. He's like 6'6" or something. Yeah. He's like, you know, he's like a
295.
Yeah, he's a big dude. The other guy's big too, Donovan. I remember just seeing Tiny come toward me, and he kept asking me like, "How you know me? How you know me?" And then I didn't even think I answered him because I just remember just being hit, you know. Apparently I answered something about a sandal, which at a previous protest in the August before, Tiny, who had been, he got, it was a big brawl, like it was on the waterfront, and
that was that one.
You were at that one? Yeah, the one on the 4th of August?
Yeah.
Or some 6th of August or something? Yeah. So you remember at one point, Tiny got hit by one of his own guys on accident. He had smashed his nose up. It was like in this big brawl, like later on in the day, and which is funny because it's like, oh, yeah, this is what happens, you know, when you hang around with people who have a default view to hit the brown person, you know. Like, I don't know how you mistake Tiny. He's the only one that looks like him there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one of his own people smashed him in the face, and then his sandal went flying, and it landed right by me. I think I even tried to give him back his sandal like that day. Yeah, I know, and then he didn't even take it. So I said something about the sandal, but either way, it didn't matter what my answer was. I was getting punched either as I was saying it or you know, very a second afterwards. And then I felt like I got hit again, or like on the way down or something, or I don't know. It was a strong punch. It split my lip open. I had to get stitches, and I hit my head on the concrete, so I got a slight concussion, and my nose was bleeding. Now, my ex-wife was coming from the other direction, coming up Broadway, and then she's very short. And from her angle, she had thought that only Donovan had hit me. So apparently Donovan, like, hit me on the way down. Or and when I came kind of to, he was the one standing over me. So I don't, you know, it but either way, I was assaulted and then like I popped back up and they were still like threatening me and stuff. And they were like, especially like at some point, Tiny kind of ran off, but then back up to the truck. The truck had pulled up a block away up at Safeway. And this is broad daylight. There's people like screaming and stuff. And like my ex-wife had to waddle her way over, screwed, like running, like, you know, and she's 8.5 months pregnant. And
damn.
She went into labor like the next week, you know. And it was I'm just bleeding. And it was a big, you know, this is a Friday afternoon. People are eating lunch. And he just kept threatening me and stuff like that. And then would kind of run back towards the truck, but then would stop and do all this clownish stuff. And I was just wasn't even like, it wasn't even registering because I was all just kind of like, what is that? What happened? Like, I was holding my phone when I got punched. Like, I was not in any sort of aggressive stance, you know? We kind of walked towards him. And then at one point, my ex-wife pulled out her phone, and there's pictures of this, of him running away. I hear him like say a bunch of threatening stuff, and it was like I realized it was directed at her. Like he was saying like, put that fucking, you know, fucking thing away, bitch. I'll fuck, you know, like all and then I lost it, and then that's when he ran off and back to the truck, and then they drove off, and it was just really surreal. And then like, you know, I didn't know what to do. Like I was like, I didn't want to talk to the police really. I just wanted to get out of there. And police kept pulling out. I was all prepared to talk to them. They kept pulling up. they would like scan the area, and it's like I was in an all black and gold tracksuit, bleeding from my face with a 5 foot tall woman who's 8.5 months pregnant. Like, wow. If they had a description of the people, like I mean, it is Lloyd Center, but like, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, they would just pull up, and I'm like, oh, I got to talk to them now. And then they would just be like, you know, kind of look in every direction. And I'd just be like, and then just drive off.
Wow.
Because I wound up walking her to her appointment a few blocks away. And then I went to my house, and then I got a ride to the hospital because my face kept swelling, and my lip was really split. So I had to get stitches.
Okay. So the police weren't even.
They were called. They were called to the scene. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. There was witnesses.
And
yeah, there was. I think there were multiple 911 callers. Yeah. There was definitely one because I met him recently, actually. But
oh, and they were quoted in the
article. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And there was another guy, too, that I remember at the scene, too, that was talking about it. And yeah, I kind of have like a. I just didn't want to deal with the police. I don't generally. I mean, I've been assaulted before. Not so much here in Portland, but maybe a few times. I've been here about 10 years, but back in Boston and New York, like many times. I've never called the police with them when that's happened. And I just generally don't, you know, if I can avoid dealing with them, I will. I mean, sometimes that's kind of a privilege too, because oftentimes I do avoid dealing with them because. They don't deal with me, but you know, if I have the choice, I'd rather not, because unless it's like maybe a property issue where like I need to get my car, like my car was stolen. Mm-hmm. If I want to get my car back, you got to make a report, you know, things like that. But you know, and I'm not an absolutist on it, but that's what was funny, because then I did end up pressing charges. It came like, but that was a few days later. Basically. Right after I wrote like a long diatribe on Facebook saying, explaining piece by piece why I don't deal with the police, which I won't do now. I won't say now. Just because so many people in my life were trying to get me to do that. And I was like, no, this is why I don't do that. And then literally 24 hours later, I was agreeing to do it because I had been contacted by... some people with the like Western State Center, mm-hmm. Who study extreme far right extremism and groups like Proud Boys and stuff like that, and basically they had been involved in a case up in Vancouver where the same individuals had assaulted a African-American teenager at the mall and actually even reposted the video because the kid's friends like took video during it. And then they even reposted it with some other like narrative, but it's just them like assaulting them. Basically the kid got charged with the felony
for
being assaulted by them, essentially, you know.
Oh, wow.
They had been driving around with this Trump flag or one of their, I don't know, they also would drive around with like a Confederate flag over the American flag, which I, okay. both teams.
A little on the nose there.
Yeah, it must be weird being a Samoan white nationalist in the Pacific Northwest driving around with a Confederate flag, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know why these people do what they do. I mean, racism itself is a contradictory place. So the kid gets charged with a felony up there because it was Vancouver. It was a mall cop. Cops just based their reports on what these private police entities do a lot of the times. And so the mall cop said that the kid was the aggressor. And he ended up, I think he even had to spend a night or two in juvie or something, which was horrible. And basically it was pointed out to me that like this isn't the first time they've done this. They can establish a pattern, you know. It would help this kid's case. And you know, I don't really believe in putting anybody in prison really, and you know, even these jerks, you know. I definitely would call the police to keep somebody out, especially somebody that was unjust. I mean, if it's between them and this kid, them every day, you know. Mm-hmm. That was why I ended up filing the report, and in tandem with an article that came out in The Guardian, like right at that time, were, I think, really, really, from what I understand from the people involved, were you know, directly, I want to say obviously not fully responsible, but like, you know, had a direct impact on that kid. They threw out the case. So yeah,
that happened kind of as the Western State Center desired it to happen, sort of like.
Yes.
And all last year.
Yeah, no, this all happened within a couple weeks of incident. And this was all happening at the same time of Occupy ICE, with the occupation of the ICE building, which I was also involved in. So it was really weird because then the Proud Boys and stuff were like, supposedly, Russell Schultz, the driver of the trucks, admitted that he came by and he attacked the camp with spraying feces or something from a truck. It was, it was a crazy month.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening was that in the middle of all that, and like actually directly after the Occupy ICE was raided on, I think it was like a Thursday morning, I was there. I was the first person they saw because I was working security overnight. I was just about to leave, and all of a sudden, swarmed by hundreds of federal police and stuff. June, that was, I don't know what day was, the 28th or something. June 30th was the rally, the big violent rally that Tiny and Donovan, because so the detective then like had reached out to me over the course of a week, had been, and he, and you know, he seemed invested in the investigation. I mean, like, he, more so than I think I had anticipated. And so it seemed like, and then he was trying to, you know, he had to talk to my ex-wife, who was in labor. So like, she wasn't getting back to him. So then he went and, I guess, talked to other witnesses. I didn't know who he talked to because I wasn't really kept in the loop on that, but one thing was that they both it was a real public show. They were both arrested at the very beginning of that rally, that really violent, crazy rally on June 30th, and before all that stuff happened. And then they were immediately released. And then I was given a call the next week, like right before their hearing or something, and I had missed the call. And then they released them and declined not to prosecuted just yet, and you know, or something. I don't, something like that. And then, but then I called back. See, this is the DA's office's claim that like they couldn't get in touch with me, but I actually called them back twice and left a message and everything. So like, you know, it just was like, by that point, it seemed like I didn't want to even care. I didn't even care about the case that much anymore at that point, because I was like, my objective with the whole thing had been kind of met, you know?
Yeah.
But it was, it did kind of perturb me that like, you know, the police didn't know that, you know? So like, or not, or the DA's office or whoever at that point was involved, you know, they didn't know that. I don't know like who, it sounded like whoever was running the case at that time, which is not the same person that's running it now, made that decision. I don't know what the police involvement was in that. It seemed like the detective involved was like, and we know that he did a lot of work investigating because they declined to prosecute. Like when all this new stuff came up, which you talked about earlier, with the text messages and stuff with the police. That's why this is relevant again. The Willamette Week, Katie Shepard with Willamette Week, records requested my case file, and she was able to do that because the case had been essentially closed. And then an hour before that article, well, so in those case files, there was like, yeah, there was like some video, there's 911 calls, there's witness statements, there's Donovan's full interview, which they produced, they put online with the police, where they were very, very, I felt very friendly with him. I think at one point he shows off his Proud Boy tattoo, and the guy goes, cool. And then they just let him go.
The video of the interrogation room thing.
Yeah, and Donovan doesn't say that he assaulted me at all, but does admit that... That Tiny does, and I guess there isn't the video. They didn't get the video of Tiny, but they have the transcript or something. And basically, Tiny admits to assaulting me, but claims that I spit at their truck, which I didn't do. But even if I did, it isn't. Stand your ground, spitball, stand your ground. You know. But I didn't spit at their truck. So, yeah, but I mean, maybe that goes to how like cozy, or maybe how either how dumb or how cozy of a relationship he had or something, because like to just give that, to actually admit to assaulting me and then saying that that's the justification. That's not like by the, you know, but apparently it worked because they were just released and, you know, yeah. And then they declined to prosecute, you know, so.
And they had been warned of warrants out for at least
there was warrants for Tiny at times, and this isn't the first time he had been arrested. And then he didn't fulfill, apparently, like, and this came out with all this stuff too, is that he didn't, from an earlier assault and earlier in the year in February or something, he was supposed to like, he was on probation and he was supposed to do 40 hours of community service, and he didn't show up for his court date and he didn't show up for any of the community service. So there was that. And then there's like, you know, and then in those text messages there's another time when the detective is like, you know, make sure Tiny's right, you know, trying to evade getting arrested. And then more recently, video was produced from 5 days before the assault at a rally where the cops come over to Patriot Prayer side or Proud Boy side and they say, hey, we've arrested people on the other side. We were told to arrest two individual one, so they were aware of Tiny's warrant, and then but they were like, if you guys will go, they let them go, you know. So he could have been arrested then, you know. But they had to let him go. So they've had a pretty you know, cushy relationship with the police. If you consider like you know, how other people have been dealt with by the police. I mean, sometimes people have been murdered, but I mean, you know, but in terms of like the like. Just being allowed, like, that sort of...
Back and forth.
Yeah, and then, you know, they didn't know how I felt. They didn't know that I didn't want... You know, I could have been just waiting in the wings, like, when are you going to get the... You know, like... But, you know, so, like, an hour before that article by Katie Shepard published, the DA's office got in touch with me and said, we're like, oh, it was a new... There's a new... They got a new guy on the case, apparently, after the mayor had earlier in the year been like, I don't know, maybe it was around when he was kept, when he, multiple times he was threatened in the media by these people.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, you guys got to get on these people because, you know, because there's been a lot of public outcry of how much, I mean, if you look at their response on August 4th, which I was there as well, I mean, they're shooting explosives at us, you know, they allowed them, and it was all because they like were giving them cover to come around and assault people. And one of the people that had run from them was like brutally assaulted by the police. This woman, pushed to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Native American woman, a Desert Storm vet. I witnessed this firsthand. It was far more traumatizing of an event for me to witness than anything that I had been through. And then she's still being prosecuted for this, and she didn't do any. She just yelled back something at the police while complying. The cops were telling everyone to stay on the sidewalk, and then they pushed her into the street and just manhandled her super brutally. There's video of this from a bunch of angles. Yeah. I remember specifically because a group of us just instantaneously responded to it by just running towards it to like the situation, and then we were quickly reminded that not to do that by like literally like a one of those like things that they're supposed to shoot up in the air
that they were
whizzing right by my, you know, head, and then it went into someone's helmet, and this other older woman had chemical burns on her, you know, I mean, like, and this is how they, and it was a peaceful event all day. It wasn't how it got unpeaceful because of the police and because the Proud Boys and the Patriot Prayer people left their designated area and tried to come around, and so people followed suit, and then they were just given cover to go assault people. It was insane. They've been under fire for their what seems like collusion or, you know, preferential treatment to them, and so that's why my thing got brought all back up, because it looked like that case was just very much that, but now they're prosecuting it.
I have the good fortune of never having gone through a grand jury situation before. How is it sort of incumbent on you to press the charges?
No. It's you get subpoenaed.
Okay.
So they did ask me if I wanted to, I mean, they asked me, but I think ultimately I got a subpoena in the mail, so did my ex-wife, but, you know, I was gonna, I agreed to go through with it, because at that point I was like, well, I can't complain, you know, if they're gonna go through with it now, you know, might as well, and I had to, because I had a subpoena, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to grand jury like a week after the article came out, pretty much, and it's a weird process. It's not what you basically just go into like a boardroom, and there's like this group of people that I guess are there for the month, and they oversee a bunch of cases, and basically it's collecting evidence to indict. Now, grand juries are messed up though, because they're really used actually against activists a lot. And the reason why they're messed up is that there's no pleading of the fifth, from what I understand. So like if like you and I are part of an organization, right? And, so I am immune from anything I say about myself in testimony, you know? So that's how they get you. They say, oh, pleading the fifth doesn't matter because you're completely immune from prosecution on anything that you say in the testimony. But I'm not immune from prosecution from anything that you say about me, and you're not immune from prosecution from anything I say about you. Yeah. So, like, yeah, that's how the grand juries like trip people up, and it's like to go forward with indictments. With this, it was just like I went in, I told the the same story I told earlier. Essentially, it was kind of asked by the assistant DA, just one at a time, like the witnesses, which was the 911 caller, my ex, and the detective too. Did grand jury they went forward with the to indict on assault in the third degree for both individuals, and one of those individuals, Tiny, is in Samoa apparently.
Didn't he posted a, well, both of them have GoFundMe pages, don't they, for their legal costs?
I don't know about Tiny. I know Donovan has one up now, and Donovan said that he was going to turn himself in today. As of yet, I don't know if that's happened, but Tiny says he's going to come back and deal with it, but it definitely looks like he fled Samoa. But I'm not the only case, though. You know, the thing with Tiny is I would imagine he would be held because Donovan probably won't be, but he would be probably held because he didn't show up for court and for any of his stuff. So he has all that, and that's like doesn't look good, I think. But who knows? So yeah, basically, if they go ahead, if they actually do show up and turn themselves in or get arrested on their warrants, they will, 90% of cases, I think, go end up in pleas. Mm-hmm. So my only real involvement as of now would be if it went to trial, which isn't very likely. And then also, I guess I get to give a victim impact statement if they do go forth with a plea. And with that, I probably would use it to push for not, because I'm really opposed to prison. I don't think it. I am opposed to it for humanitarian reasons, and I'm opposed to it for even just practical reasons. I don't think it really. I think it perpetuates more violence and problems, and I don't think it. It's not going to make this. The public's not going to be safer with Tiny in prison for 4 months or something or whatever. How many? It's a violent, stressful place, and
with its own white nationalism problem.
Yeah. I don't know how easy it will be for him to join that inside.
Yeah.
Which is funny because he's more ideologically aligned with them, but like the gangs inside are often less ideological, more criminal based, but also pretty strict on racial lines. So I don't think he's going to be able to be as cool with them in there. Or maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe they'll use him again like these other guys have, which is he's a big, tough, cannon fodder, essentially. That's what's like kind of the worst thing about like Joey Gibson, the who ran for Senate and was mm-hmm. head of Patriot Prayer, who Tiny called, his right-hand man up until recently, is that Joey Gibson would play this sort of role. Well, not lately. Lately, he's been actually physically assaulting people and pulling off their masks. But he would go in and try to get assaulted, and try to pretend to be this, turn the other cheek.
All.
Yeah. But he was just, trying to get. He literally like has admitted this. He's it's his open strategy. You're trying to get who he calls Antifa, which is, I think is literally like I think like Hillary Clinton is Antifa to him. But to punch him and stuff, and then he has Tiny right there just to start assaulting, women and teenagers and whoever. Tiny never is on video trying to assault anyone his size, some big sharp or like member of Rash or something like that. He's he did one time one of the times where someone gave him a good fight. It was a guy who was also half his size, but was missing a leg that he lost in Iraq. So an Iraq veteran was, but who was also an anti-fascist, actually gave him a good fight, which is just funny because these guys are so pro-military and so. But it's like, once you join Tiny, well, you can't now, but probably, but it's like, or Donovan, why you walk around and stealing valor in these like combat vests and stuff and talking about all this, but why don't you just go join the military then?
Yeah.
I mean,
how do you feel about this whole process? I mean, like you said, you were subpoenaed, so you didn't have much of a choice.
I mean, it's kind of exhausting, and it's like, it's like something I had moved past. I do like that. I really, people like Katie Shepard with the Willamette Week, and people like Jason Wilson with The Guardian, and Alex Zelensky with the Mercury, have been really awesome with exposing this stuff with the Portland police. So I think that that needed to have a light shine on it. I felt like that was a really an unresolved issue that you know, if anyone that's involved in activism here and involved with like how the police have dealt with people here, that not even activism wise, just like people in general, it's like it's really disheartening to see like them just consistently like side with them, or seemingly, and you know, and as we've seen from this stuff, you know, like definitely have a cozy relationship. So it's like, you know, it is, you know, that coming to a head is good. And if I can be a part of that, I definitely see that as a good thing. But in terms of like the dealing with the justice system, like I said, I initially did it to help keep a kid out of it, you know, so all this continued involvement in it is like, I'm over that. I mean, you know, and like I said, if they do turn themselves in and they go to their plea, I'll gladly have my last involvement be, you know, pushing for no prison. Yeah, I don't care if they get hit by a bus, but I don't want them to go to prison, because I'm opposed to prison for you know, I can't just be okay with it for them. And
all right,
you know,
hot take there.
Yeah.
And lastly, is there anything you want to add to the record or subtract from it?
No, I mean, I think I said most of what I mean. You know, I think that people need to stand up to these people. They are dangerous. They are, but we're winning, I think, too. I mean, like, they're always going to be there. They come in different forms. I think the movement that you saw, like, come together on their side, like, in the last couple of years is very fractured right now. There's a lot of infighting, and, you know, you get these personalities, and, like, you know, so, yeah, and that's a good thing. A lot of times they eat themselves, but they're still dangerous. They're still out there. And there's a lot of these really unhinged guys lately that are, like, these newer people involved that I think, you know, are you know, the ones making threats online all the time and stuff like that. I mean, but, you know, they're groups like Patriot Prayer who are not outright white nationalist organizations and have you know, people of color in them and, you know, gay people and whatever, you know, whatever other group that the people that they surround themselves oppose. That's the thing. They're an entryway and they stand shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it's been documented. Rose City Antifa was documented. A lot of people have documented over and over again. They stand shoulder to shoulder with Nazis, white nationalists, fascists, and just, you know, any real understanding of the history of fascism, like, they fit in with that. Fascism often is a racialized ideology, you know, because that's, you know, I forget who wrote it, but he's an Italian writer, but, you know, there's a bunch of tenets that come with fascism, and it doesn't have to, you know, it's been in countries where it's been multicultural, mm-hmm. But it's definitely like they do have to otherize somebody.
Yeah, and they never start at 10.
Yeah, so
ramp up.
Yeah, and so just having these sort of like, and they also like fascism, I think I can't think of his name now, but anyways, it was written in the 90s, and it's just like kind of fascism for fascism's sake, you know. So it's like, because if you look at their ideology, it's so empty, and they transform it all the time, you know. It's unlike like a more of a strict fascist. Or, I mean, a strict, like, white nationalist worldview, which is adaptable and contradictory. But, like, these guys are just saying just whatever at any time. I mean, they're literally wearing masks, talking about how we need to keep masks off people. I mean, they're just clowns. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're, you know, super misogynist, super, you know, their goal, though, is to just kind of fight the left, which has always been that's another tenet of fascism is attacking the left. And they, you know, they're just going to continue. I mean, they were at the Women's March this past week, you know, I mean, showing up, getting a full police escort, and they're just going to continue to do that. But they are definitely a more fractured unit. And I think since Charlottesville, I mean, that's where like anti-fascism and anti-fascist organizing, I think, is really one, is that in a lot of ways, it's not over, but is that like people, you'll never have another Charlottesville because, or maybe you will, but not anytime soon, because the movement is so afraid of, you know, people went out there openly and then they paid the cost. People lose mm-hmm. their jobs. People have been shunned by their families. It's hard to be an open. And that's a good thing. The problem is that it is the more institutional fascist elements, you know, with the police and private police, and then the sort of relationships with them, and then, you know, that kind of stuff, and that gets into a whole other thing. But like, but they're there, and they're angry, and they're, you know, they're online, and a lot of them have open Facebooks.
Yeah.
It's like they still, Tiny has his Facebooks wide open. I mean, that's like, you don't have to do much research with these guys. They post their crimes online. That's what was like so crazy with the thing, is that they are open about it, and they don't get in any trouble. And you think about like
full names and DOBs.
Yeah, I mean, I was arrested for laughing at a militia guy and getting attacked by him, like, you know, and then like got swarmed by federal police at the June 4th, 2017 rally. You know, At the rally for free speech, I got essentially arrested for laughing. So, like, you know, but then, you know, these guys are doing all these assaults and just going off free. There's people that, like, I mean, if you look down in California, I mean, you had the police down there with these rallies, literally working with these Nazis who stabbed people to, like, build cases against the people who literally were stabbed, you know. That was in Sacramento, and then also down in Anaheim and up in, Berkeley, they did the same. And in the inauguration stuff, you know, they were basing their stuff on, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but he posts these, like, super, super edited, like, right-wing smear campaign, like, videos, like, far right-wing. You know, he's, like, in the same vein as, like, He sells supplements and stuff too, and
Alex Jones.
No, but connected to that world. Anyways, these right wing hucksters that are all on Twitter, and they like make up stories that they've been assaulted or that they've infiltrated Antifa or things like that. So they were the case was based on like video footage from like these far right like hucksters, you know, in the case in involved with the inauguration, which there's still I think 50 something people still. I don't think all the cases are dropped, you know?
Yeah.
They dropped a bunch of them, but, like, a lot of them weren't. And then those protesters were, a lot of them were, like sexually assaulted in police custody and stuff. And, it's brutal. And, like, they definitely have, they have the White House, and they have, oftentimes law enforcement. You know, was it ever 100% of extremist violence in America last year was done by far-right people? I mean, the vast majority of it since 9/11 and before 9/11 were. So, I mean, like, but, you know, they don't get the same treatment as other groups, you know, certainly not like, you know, the left or black identity extremists. They make up these terms or.
You got anything you want to add before we wrap up?
Definitely, if you can look online, I mean, like, follow, there's a lot of Twitter accounts, and like, follow Rose City Antifa if you're interested in information on this. It's going down. It's a good source. Jason Wilson with The Guardian, Katie Shepard with Willamette Week. Yeah, I mean, the case of Tracy, I believe her name is Tracy Molina, very, very, very sweet woman was, you know, brutally assaulted by the police. I mean, those cops should be charged. I mean, anyone that sees the video.
June 30th.
No, this was on August 4th.
Oh, right,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She has a case coming up. They're still charging her, and then they're even dangling this thing. I heard that they're saying that they'll drop the charges if she apologizes to the cops. Which saves their, you know, butts. But then also like. There's something so sick about making someone like, you know, making someone have to apologize to their abuser, you know.
Yeah, and to have that be illegal.
Yeah, yeah, and so you can't further go after your abuser, you know, so it's like, it's just sick. And if anyone with, like, anybody watching these videos, you cannot say that what they did to this woman is justified. And the fact that she's still being prosecuted is a travesty. And I believe she has a hearing coming up. Follow online. You can follow me on Manic Pixie Dream Boy on Twitter. I've reposted stuff about it. I can't think of her Twitter account right now, but her case is going to be coming up soon, and I think people should rally around that, and definitely anything else going on, any other ongoing cases against activists. There's an activist from Occupy ICE too that is still, I think, going through prosecution that is unjust too.
Cool, and I'll try to find that information and put it up with this too. All right, well, Tim Ledwith, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
For KBOO Evening News and Totality of Circumstances, this is Sam Bowman.